Happy Father's Day. How many fathers are here? Well, today we try to honor you and pray for you too. So if you take out the bulletin, pray for our fathers. Hopefully it's not just today you pray for your fathers. We will not forget, appreciate fathers and the role they play in our lives. Fathers will follow in God's will. This is important. And let's pray for them. Pray for our fathers. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father, first of all. Lord, we thank you because we are not perfect. Being a father myself, I know that I'm not perfect as a father. But you are. Lord, we thank you because you are our model that we can follow. Now we pray for our fathers. Lord, we thank you, even though they are not perfect, but they are trying their best to love us, to protect us. Lord, we just pray that if they are still beside us at home, we should count these as our blessings. Lord, we thank you and just pray that not only we love them, and pray that we will continue to pray for them, especially if our fathers are already Christians, and pray that they will continue to walk with you. For those who are not Christian yet, Lord, we just pray that someday our fathers will come to know you as their Heavenly Fathers. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. I'm going to read you a statistics about family worship. If both your parents worship with you regularly while you were growing up, as you were growing up, there's an 80% likelihood that you will worship God regularly. The key is regularly as an adult. If only your mother worship regularly with you, there's only a 30% probability that you will worship regularly as an adult. So if you are growing up in a church, your mom comes to church with you regularly, only your mom, not your father, then only 30% that you will continue to worship God as an adult when you can decide for yourself. Number three, if only your father worship regularly with you, the likelihood that you will worship regularly as an adult increased to 70%. So much difference, you can tell. So it's very important for our fathers, the role fathers to us. Sometimes we might just overlook how important the role of our fathers. So we should honor them. There's a saying, we love our mothers, but we follow our fathers. We love our mothers, but we follow our fathers. So this is the statistics already expressed to you, 70% from 30% if you only have one parent coming to worship God with you. And the father and the mother, you can tell the difference. The father makes some huge difference in terms of affecting you and how he becomes a model of you. Okay? So a little girl once said to her mother, "Mommy, if Santa Claus brings our presents and God gives us our daily bread, and Uncle Sam, must be U.S., give us social security, why do we keep Daddy around?" So sad. And maybe because of that, 40% of children in the States are growing up or sleeping at night without their fathers at home. And then before the age of 18, more than 50% of our children will spend a significant portion of their childhood living apart from their fathers. All those are states, but Canada, we are not doing any better. So fatherless is the most harmful demographic trend in these generations. And we just, sometimes you think fathers is not important, even at home, and we have this huge misconception about their role. So even in the entertainment, if you watch TV, I'm sure many of you watch TV or nowadays YouTube or whatever on the monitor, you will see a lot of commercials or something, clips about how stupid men are. They don't know how to operate anything. They just sit at home eating potato chips And if they cannot take care of their own kids without the help of their wives, or they cannot operate the washing machines, you know, they have to get their wives to operate. All those portraying, you know, men are not useful, even at home. And today we would like to honor our fathers, because we do believe fathers play a huge role in our lives, in our home, in all kinds of family relationships. And there are two main roles to fulfill at home, as a man, as a father. So today I'm going to share with you, based on the scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. If you look at the first two verses, you will see this passage is very much related to Ephesians chapter 5, about man, you know, is the head of the home, and wives should submit to their husbands. But today I'm not going to talk about submission, I'm not talking about why. Today the focus is our fathers. And I just want to say submission doesn't mean that they are less equal, they are less important as a female, as our wives. But just if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul teaches submission is based on creation order and the desire of God, the design or desire too of God. So it's nothing to do with inferiority, you know, who is more supreme. We all are equal before God, and we are all important to God. But in the order of creation, I think God has put something in our lives, in the family structure. And man has become the leader of their home. In this fallen world, unfortunately, it has become a huge struggle for both men and women to do so. Being a leader, being submissive, and just play the order that God designed for us. And it's very hard these days, especially in these North American cultures. And we all talk about equality, but we forget the order of things and how important it is to have an order, not only at home, but also in our society. The story is told of a father of five. Okay, he has five children, who came home with a toy. He summoned his children and asked which one should be given the presents. So he's asking questions. See who deserves this toy. So who's the most obedient, never talks back to mom and does everything he or she is told to do? And then there was a silence as the children look around at each other. And then they all say, "You play with this toy, Dad." You get it? He is the one never talk back to the mom. And then he is the one does everything he is told. So that even the children can pick up that. And say, who is the boss at home? Actually, in this case, it's the mom. However, we honor our fathers as they take up this role of leadership at home. We honor them because even though this role is difficult, it's challenging, sometimes it's fearful, but we honor our fathers because they take up the role. And you take up the role, even though in this fallen world, in this sinful world, it's so hard to make decisions and to face the consequences. But men, fathers, we honor you because you will not let this fear stopping you to be a leader of your home. And you are still leading at home. And we honor you because you face this challenge and you are willing to do it because you love your family. So not only we are the leaders of our homes, we need to know how to lead in a way that our people meaning our wives, our children, are willing to submit and to obey. And I think the scriptures tell us that, you know, the husband, the word husband, you know, the word husbandry, it's a word about gardener, you know, he's looking after the garden. So the concept about being a leader, being a husband at home, is to cultivate the soil and keep the weeds away, is to for protection, to take care of the family, so that the home is a place when people can, you know, grow, can live at peace. And this is the way men protect their families, the way to show their love for their families, and help them to grow in an environment good for all these things happening, good things happening at home. Unfortunately, today, you know, if you see husband and wife, sometimes they have struggles. Who should lead the family? There's a story about a doctor who spoke with a great care and concern to the woman in his office. He said, "I have conducted a thorough exam on your husband, and I'm afraid that I have some bad news for you. Your husband is in a terrible shape. He has only one hope. If you do not follow my exact instructions, your husband is going to die. Every morning when he wakes up, fix him a hot breakfast and make sure that he gets off to work with a smile on his face. If he comes home for lunch, keep all your problems to yourself so that he won't be discouraged or down. Have dinner on the table when he gets home each day. Make sure that the house is spotless so that he can just relax. And this is the way to save your husband because he is in such a bad shape." So on the way home, the husband turned to his wife and said, maybe he went to the washroom. "So what did the doctor have to say about my health? Or how he can help me?" And then the wife replied, "He said, you are going to die." So she has chosen how to relate to her husband. You know, when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking about this passage, you know, and the picture, gardener looking after the garden, you know, soil, all these things. Then I remember another picture, lion and lioness. You know, if you watch TV, you know how they operate, you will see the lions, you know, he walk around in his territory, you know. He go around each day, make sure everything is all right, no intruders, you know, so the whole territory is safe, so the lioness can do their jobs, hunting, looking after the kids, and all these things. And then the lion will walk around the territory, and then he'll come home and lie down, you know, just play with his own kids. And then, of course, mute. It's a form of love. If you look at this, you know, the lion, the lioness, and how they run this family, I will see, you know, first thing the lion does is to provide protection. Provide protection, and then protection translates into security. The lioness, the kids feel safe. There's no intruders coming to try to take their territories or attack the kids. And then security, protection translates to what? Order of life. There's an order at home, at peace. People can learn, children can learn, can play, can be happy. And this is what the fathers we ought to do. And we honor our fathers because they are doing their job. We are doing our jobs to protect our families. We might not like our mothers, you know, looking after you, changing your diaper every moment, but we do our role. And I hope that we all appreciate what our fathers is doing for our lives. Second point I want to share with you is we honor our fathers because father is a wise instructor. We honor our fathers because father is a wise instructor. If you look at verses 20 to 21, you know, after I became a parent, you know, I had some idea what it means to change diaper because I changed diaper for my nephew when he was young. But I still just an uncle. But I became a father, so the feelings, the reality is not the same. Not like a babysitter. You change your lives, you know. A lot of people say, well, pastor, you have a lot of gray hair. Well, it must be, you work really hard in the church. I just want to, you know, correct that because I have a lot of gray hair. It all comes out in the same time when Sarah was born. Don't blame her. Just being a father, you know, that huge responsibility, that sense of, you know, I need to look after these little ones, and then just all the gray hair just are starting to come. So after, you know, the church people thought, wow, you know, pastor, you're turning gray because, you know, you work so hard for the church. Not really, it's my children. The sense of obligation and responsibility, there's no fun, you know, once the baby are born. So it's very hard not to be, you know, I told myself that I need to be a good father. So it's a huge responsibility. We honor our fathers because they are not afraid to teach, to instruct, and to discipline their children. We honor our fathers because we are not afraid to teach, to instruct, and to discipline our children. because this is our responsibilities to make sure they are on the right path. As they growing up, they will fear God. We honor you because you take up this responsibility. You are not letting your wives do the job. You are not letting the school teachers to do it. You are not letting the church do it. They are just helping you. But you, as a father, I honor you, we honor you because you take up this huge task, teaching our children. And we all know that the first 5 years of their lives is the most important time to teach. Chinese says 3 years, the first 3 years. Western culture says the first 5 years. So you take that, 3 or 5. But the first 3 to 5 years, the most important time to teach, to instruct, to discipline our children. Just like farmers, you know, when the boy growing up in a farm, you know, he is learning from his dad. He thought he was just learning skills, you know, how to do the trade, you know, how to be a farmer. But actually, he's learning what it means to be a man, protecting, providing for a family. Then I remember there's a TV show. I'm not sure how many of you have watched that. This is today's, you know, how men learn things. Yukon Man. How many of you have watched this? Okay, even the title doesn't attract you. Yukon Man. Who cares? What's Yukon? Where's Yukon, by the way? You don't even know where the Yukon is. Well, this show is talking about Yukon River in Alaska, actually. And talk about different families. You know, men teaching their boys how to hunt, how to look after the family, how to survive in winters. How to prepare, you know, the families before the winter comes, hunting, cutting logs, make sure there's firewoods for the family, all these things. You know, I was just watching a few of them, and then I see how their fathers teach the young men becoming an adult to do these kind of things. And it's just wonderful to you when they interview the fathers, you know, how he says about their sons, and then they interview their sons and how they talk about their fathers, you know, how important it is. They're learning from their fathers to survive. Being a man, a tough man in those tough areas. But today we are living in a city. And how many of you doing that? This kind of thing? You know, you have to go hunting, you know, to make sure you have meat at home. You know, you might have to chop up some logs to warm up your house. We don't do that anymore. We are living in a city. You know, parents go away from home to make a living. You know, we sit in the office. We go to factory buildings, you know. We are separate from our children most of the time. And our children cannot learn anything from us, how to live and how to survive as a second generation, the next generations. So what do? You know, there's a father who has 3 active boys. One summer, you know, summer evening, he was playing cops and robbers in the bank backyard for after dinner. So one of the boys shot his father and yelled, "Bang, you are dead." And then the father just lay down on the floor, on the ground, and he didn't get up right away. And the neighbor beside them and saw the whole thing. So he's concerned because the father is not moving. So he came over and then tried to check out the father. And the father said, "Shh, don't give me away. It's the only chance I had to rest all day." Just lying there, even for 2 or 3 minutes. It's the only time he has to rest all day, but he's doing his best. He's trying. At least he's playing with his kids. We honor our fathers because we spend time not only protecting, providing, but also spending time with our children. So we honor them, even though they are very tired. They're that tired, but they are learning to do their job. And we honor our fathers. We are not afraid to teach. Sometimes it's very hard to teach teenagers. And a lot of time we already give up, even before we start. But we honor our fathers because we continue, we persist. Not only the first 5 years we teach our children everything they need, but believe it or not, most of the stuff you learn is in your first 5 years. Most of the things that you learn, values, you know, worldview, all these things, about God even, is the first 5 years of your life. And we need to be continued to do that as our children growing up, as we were growing up. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I think this is the hardest part sometimes, is for fathers to teach our children, not only about how to make a living, how to be a man, or teach our daughters how to look for a man, but teach them about God. It's the hardest, because you need to live out your faith. We honor our fathers because we do our best. We are trying to do our best to live out the image, the heavenly fathers, before our children. We need to be wise, because the scripture in verse 21 tells us that we should not irritate our children as they growing up. We need to be wise parents. We need to be a wise teacher. As they get older, our way of doing things need to be changed. And I hope you see that in your parents. As you're growing up, you know, they will not treat you like a 5 years old as you become teenager, as you become a young adult. And they will respect you more. They will give you more responsibilities. And I think this is a wise father. To teach, to instruct, to discipline according to their personalities, to their age. So at the end, I just want you to pray for your fathers. You said that, Pastor, what you tell us is just, you know, it's just beautiful, but my father is not like that at all. I understand that. But you can pray for them. You can pray for them. And wives, you can pray for your husbands. And encourage them. Because men still the same. We are sinful, just like anybody else. And we are so fearful too. We are afraid to fail. We are afraid to be criticized. Because man needs what? Face, you know, respect. You know, to protect our respect, we will not try to make any decisions so that nobody can criticize us. But we honor our fathers because they see something far more important than all these things. You, wives and children. And they're willing to take up this responsibility as a father at home. Not only protecting you, but instruct you as we grow up. I learned from my dad how to be a good father. He has 6 children, and I'm the youngest. You know, when I was young, you know, he would take me and take my younger sister, the one older than me, just 2 of us, you know, because we were the youngest at home. He would take us out after dinner, after he got his paycheck, and then he would take us out to buy toys for us. When I was young, he would take me to go for a walk, just me. Because maybe my older brother, my older sister would not go with him anymore. So he would take me and just walk, take a long walk. In the reservoir, you know, those shuitong, you know, in Hong Kong, those reservoirs. You know, he would take a bus with me and then go there and then just walk around Saturday morning. You know, I spent time with my dad. It was just wonderful. You know, I learned so much from him being a father. Not only providing families what we need, but how he showed his love toward each one of us. So we are not perfect, but you can pray for your fathers. And then I pray that they will be able to learn from our heavenly fathers. Young man, someday you're going to be a father too. Learn as much as you can from your fathers. They're not perfect. But at the same time, you can learn from your heavenly fathers, our Lord Jesus Christ as well. Let's pray together.